Hello and welcome to The Paul Garcia Show, where I have conversations with the remarkable people from the Central Illinois area. Today my guest is a man from Chenoa, Illinois, who, as it stands, has traveled around the country and the world more so than any one person that I have ever come to know. His name is Fred Jolly, and my goodness, what an interesting life he has lived. Just to give you a small selection of highlights, he and his wife Laura have traveled to all 50 states in the United States and every single national park in America, all in their very own RV named Charlie. He's also biked across the entire country, and he's also hiked all 2,190 miles of the Appalachian Trail in just 6.5 months on foot. And all of these feats have been accomplished after the age of 50. Additionally, he's experienced a lot of other non-endurance and non-athletic things that will blow your mind to hear about. And you're going to hear about all those things, as well as some excellent general life advice that will really get you fired up. I know it did, certainly did for me, all in just one moment. If you enjoy this show, though, and you want to support it, simply liking and sharing this very video will help out a ton. Also, visiting or calling this show's sponsors and telling them that you heard about them on this show helps a lot as well, makes them know that their money's not going to waste. If you're so kind that you want to actually help fund the show, please consider becoming a patron on patreon.com/Paul Garcia for as little as $1 a month. On patreon.com, you can watch tons of exclusive bonus footage and be among the first people to gain access to the show's live streams and unedited versions of each episode, and much, much more. If exclusive bonus footage doesn't interest you, you can also donate to the show on Venmo at username The Paul Garcia Show. Lastly, if you think the show deserves a 5-star rating, you can leave us one on Apple Podcasts and on the Facebook page. That is very much appreciated, and it helps us in the algorithm and stuff. But first, before we begin, turn your attention to your back and spine. Are you slouching? Well, that might be because you're sitting and sleeping on old, ugly, worn-out beds, couches, and chairs. So it's time to do your body and your eyes a favor and get some comfy and stylish new furniture from the one and only Fairbury Furniture in downtown Fairbury, Illinois. These guys have been sponsoring this show for a long time now, and I like them a lot, and they carry great, great furniture at great prices. So when you decide to do away with those ancient artifacts that you call home furnishings, head nowhere else but Fairbury Furniture in downtown Fairbury. And of course, be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent ya. All right, now without further ado, prepare to be inspired by this conversation between me and the one and only Fred Jolly. Fred Jolly, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show, sir. Thank you so much for coming on.
Wonderful to be here.
Yeah. So I want to give a quick rundown to the people listening about who exactly it is that you are and some of the things that you've done. So I'm going to read this thing off that I typed up. So prepare to feel a little uncomfortable for a second, Fred.
Okay.
Fred Jolly is a seriously impressive and inspiring human being from Chenoa, Illinois. He's 64 years old, and since turning 50, he's done a number of really cool things. He's visited every single state in America and every national park as well, all in him and his wife Laura's RV named Charlie. He has attained his master's degree in liberal arts from the University of Chicago, which, if you didn't know, is one of the most prestigious universities on the planet. He's hiked over 1,000 miles, which includes a one-day, 24-mile rim-to-rim hike of the Grand Canyon, which raised $26,000 for the National Park Foundation. He's biked across the country. He's starred in a film named The Funeral Photographer, which is on IMDb, and he's also been profiled in a book by Jerry Bernstein called Late Bloomers. Additionally, Fred has also been physically present at a number of historical events, including games 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the Cubs World Series games in 2016, the infamous Steve Bartman Cubs playoff game of 03, and even the presidential inaugurations of Barack Obama and Jimmy Carter, and many more events as well. Fred, it's tough for me to pick a place to start, but I guess naturally, I'll start with, did I get that correct? Did I leave anything out, or did I get anything wrong?
No, I think you hit the highlights, and I think you got everything right. Although I will be turning 65 here in just a couple of weeks, so I should probably put that out there. Yeah. I don't want my classmates going, wait a minute, that guy's the same age I am. He's cheating on his age.
So you are from Shenoah, Illinois, correct? You went to high school there and everything?
Yeah, no, we grew, myself, my three brothers and mom and dad grew up on a farm about 6 miles outside of Shenoah, and lived there until I went off to the Navy right after high school.
Wow. Yeah. When I look at the life that you've been living in the past few years, that sharply contrasts the small town life of a place like Shenoah. You grew up on a farm, probably stayed in the area. I mean, I'm making assumptions here. You probably stayed in the area, lived a typical small town high school kid's life. And then you grow up and you're traveling the country doing all sorts of crazy things. One thing I want to ask, just to make sure, did you go to the University of Chicago, or was it one of those like universities in Chicago?
No, it was the University of Chicago. Yeah. We had a professor, much like people now say, the Ohio State University. I had a philosophy professor who made a point of every time he said U of C or the University of Chicago would say the University of Chicago. Yeah.
Right. Wow. That's incredibly impressive. And the majority of these feats that you've accomplished, that you've done, and adventures you've gone on, am I correct in saying that most of them have taken place since you've turned 50?
A lot has happened since I turned 50. I will say that raising a wonderful daughter, candidly, was the highlight of everything. But in terms of personal things I've done, a fair amount has happened since I turned 50, but from my Navy days, from the time I graduated from high school and went into the Navy, I mean, rode a bull when I was stationed in Virginia Beach, traveled all up and down the East Coast, the West Coast, took full advantage of every opportunity to see the United States and see the world. And all of that happened right out of high school. And it really all started when I joined the Navy, and the late Les Price was the Navy recruiter there in Shenoah who recruited me. And it is hands down, and I tell people this, hands down, the best decision I've ever made in my life was to go into the military and take full advantage of it.
What were you like? What was your life like? How did you think when you were growing up, you know, middle school, high school, before you went to the Navy? What was your life like?
It was small town America. It was growing up, like I said, on a farm and working the jobs that one would work on a farm. So baling hay, shelling corn, working as a carpenter, even though I'm a terrible carpenter, and have two brothers who are hands down can fix or build anything, Tim and Jeff. I did not have that, but I could bring them, you know, I could be the assistant. But doing the things that kids did back in the, you know, the early 70s, late 60s, in a small town, and we didn't travel a lot. I mean, most of our summers were just spent going to the Shenoah pool, playing, you know, walking a half a mile or riding our bikes a half a mile to meet up with neighbor kids. It was the quintessential small town upbringing, including the 4th of July and everything that goes along with that. And in terms of how I ended up, you know, going into the Navy and then going on from there, primarily because I had zero idea what I wanted to do with my life. And my late father had always told us, because he was in the military for a short, you know, for a time, he said, you know what, everybody should go into the military for at least a couple of years, and it will help you grow up and figure out what you want to do. And that's what I did. And I followed his advice, got connected with Les Price, and took the aptitude test, qualified for essentially anything that I wanted to do in the military. and ended up in advanced electronics and went on from there.
I'm going to ask about your experience in the Navy, because I know that's extremely important in your whole story. But first, I'm just curious, because I know you went to the University of Chicago, which is one of the most difficult schools to get into. When you were in high school, were your academics of high importance? And also, were sports of high importance? What kind of student were you? All A's type of guy or what? Tell me a little bit about that.
Great question. Sports were the most important thing. So played football, basketball, baseball, attempted to run track, golf, tennis, did those things. And my life revolved around sports. I was not an academic individual. And as a matter of fact, when I was not an academic individual. And I've always wanted to tell students, who high school students, even college students, who haven't quite figured out what they want to do, that it's never too late to go, you know, to set your course and work towards something. In high school, I took the basic classes, basic math, you know, life science, things like that. Didn't take algebra, didn't take biology, all the essentially rudimentary basic classes in most curriculums, and I didn't take those. I was an okay student, but it wasn't my focus. That didn't happen until a couple of years into the Navy when I decided and locked on to what I wanted to do, and then I set the course for doing whatever I had to do to get my academics up to a point where I could go to the University of Illinois and major in finance, and did that by taking the very basic, starting with the most basic math classes and working my way up, you know, in that case through calculus. And I did well, because I focus. And there are so many individuals out there, kids out there, who, for whatever reason, don't focus initially, but there's always hope. You know, there's an opportunity if one wants to set a course toward success in something, the opportunity is there. You just need to take advantage of it.
This show is sponsored in part by Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm offices in Fairbury and Gibson City, Illinois. Do me a favor, go Google Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury and just look at his ratings. 56 reviews, all 100% 5 stars. You don't earn that kind of reputation for just being okay. Greg and his teams in Gibson and Fairbury are incredibly friendly, intelligent, and so, so helpful. If a dumb like me can go sit down with Greg Kurtenbach for just 15 minutes and suddenly learn the ins and outs of health, life, and car insurance, then so can you. They say that the task of genius is to make the complex simple and easy to understand. And if that's the case, then Greg and his team are geniuses. And you'd be a genius too if you called up his office at 815-692-3673. When you give him a call, you can ask how much they can insure, say, your car for, and they will tell you, or give you a quote, you could say, for free right then and there. And you'll be like, wow, that was extremely easy, and that was a lot less than I'm paying right now for my insurance. It literally cannot hurt to call. Oh, and if you didn't know also, Greg Kurtenbach is a celebrity. In addition to his face and mustache being on a massive billboard on the west end of Fairbury, you've probably seen the State Farm commercial that he starred in a few years back. I think it's a lot better than the Jake from State Farm commercials, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why so many people from the area are calling up Greg's offices, getting free quotes, and proudly making Greg their new agent. So for quality insurance, great prices, and impeccable customer service, call Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury at 815-692-3673, or call his office in Gibson City at 217-784-8343. And of course, be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent ya.
So out of high school, you end up going to the Navy, and I feel like this is a pivotal moment in your life, and I'm sure you learned a lot. Talk about what it is that you learned during your time there. How long were you in the Navy, and where'd you go after that?
You know, when you go into boot camp and you're a kid from a small town and lived on a farm outside of a small town, and then you get thrown into a barracks with 75 other guys that from all different walks of life, city kids, farm kids, all sorts of walks of life. And I'll never forget what my dad said. He said, just don't say a lot and just do what they tell you to do. And so I did. And I would watch people and just observe how they were handling things, as well as trying to get through it myself. And so there was a maturity, you know, a maturing process. It's not like I had issues with authority or anything like that. I had a great upbringing, an outstanding upbringing. And that went beyond immediate family to my extended family, to everybody in Chenoa that I came in contact with. And that was the foundation. That was the foundation. And then it just became, okay, I'm in this Navy thing. I've committed for 4 years, probably six. Now, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be stationed on the East Coast, or I'm going to be stationed on the West Coast. Let's figure out what's there. What can I see and do? I mean, being on the West Coast, outside of San Francisco, in the mid-70s, holy cow. Think about Woodstock and concerts, and there wasn't a lot of free love for me. I wish there had been, but there wasn't. But it was extraordinary. I mean, it was an extraordinary experience. And I met incredible, you know, individuals, and we traveled, we did whatever we could to try something new and different. And I really do think took full advantage of the situation. And the same thing happened on the East Coast. And trying different things, whitewater rafting and bull riding and traveling up and down the East Coast and getting full on into photography. And that was the springboard then to my last year in the military, being stationed south of Rome, a little town called Gaeta, Italy, on a guided missile cruiser, and it was the 6th Fleet command ship. So we traveled all over the Mediterranean, Israel, Egypt, went to Monaco, happened to go to Monaco for the race, the Monaco Grand Prix, bought tickets to take full advantage of that, and then find out that then living Princess Grace said, you know what, they can come as my guest. And so we ended up with a spot right on the track, and she picked up all the tickets and everything. And being in Monaco for a Grand Prix like that, it was just an incredible experience. Something really? I love going to the Fairbury racetrack. There's nothing better than a Saturday night at the Fairbury racetrack. And watching the stock cars and the rails and everything, the sprint cars. But it was pretty darn cool being at Monte Carlo and seeing Hollywood stars and these yachts and everything else, and just being able to be there.
Did you say something about the princess getting you better seats and tickets? Did you say princess, or did I mishear you?
It was the late Princess Grace, and she was a... For those of you in this audience who don't know her, she was a Hollywood star. It was a Hollywood relationship. She met Prince Rainier, who was the Prince of Monaco, which is a country, a principality there in southern France, and met him, married him, and became the Princess of Monaco. And she found out that our ship was going to be pulling into Monaco for the race. And because we had the admiral on board who oversaw all activities in the Mediterranean, And so we got to go very cool places, and she found that out. And right after I got on the ship, they sent out a notice and said, hey, if you want to go to time trials, or if you want to go to the race, buy the ticket. And it was not an inexpensive ticket, but I'm like, my dad really turned us on to racing. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I mean, to go to the Monte Carlo Grand Prix. And so I bought whatever tickets I could buy. And then later they said, all you people who bought a ticket, and there were a lot of my friends who decided not to do it because it was whatever. And they came back and said, Princess Grace is gonna pay for all your tickets. And they literally took our Liberty boat from the ship, which was docked offshore, took us in, backed it right up to the walk along the track. We got out there. We had our own private area
Incredible. To
sit and stand in. And we were literally on the track. So much so, before there were all the safety things, I was tall enough, I could put my arm up on top of a loose fence, pull it down, and bend out over the track and shoot pictures of cars coming out of the tunnel. Yeah. So but the thing is, you get opportunities like that so few times in your life, in one's life, and why not take advantage of them, right?
That's a life lesson right there. Yeah. I was going to say that. It seems like a life lesson we could take from that story alone. Really, your whole experience being in the Navy is, if there's a once in a lifetime opportunity in front of you, you might as well take it, especially if you're at the age that you were at in the Navy, you know, your early 20s. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
This show is sponsored in part by Forest Edge Tree Service. Although winter is now past, the damage that it has done to all of our trees is here to stay. If those trees haven't fallen yet, ooh, get ready, because just a few strong winds will lead to downed limbs, trees, and power lines, causing massive damage to your home, cars, properties, and mental health. Face it, your yard is no place for looming, dead, or damaged trees. It's just a matter of time before one of them comes down, and whether by your choice or not. This is why you need to hire the excellent, and I mean excellent, services of Forest Edge Tree Service, because no job is too big, no job is too small, and no job is too complicated for these folks. If you have trees or tree stumps that you want gone, simply give Joe Rudin at Forest Edge Tree Service a call or a text, for those of you that don't like talking on the phone, at 815-615-3037 to get a free quote today. Forest Edge Tree Service is fully insured and staffed with trained professionals who use cutting-edge equipment to get the job done right. Make your property safe and beautiful with a tree service that you can trust. These pros take pride in their attention to detail, in their cleanup, and, of course, in their relationships with their customers, which is why they are Livingston County's premier tree service provider. Keep your family, pets, vehicles, and neighbors safe by being proactive with your land. It'll save you money in the long run and help you to avoid all the headaches of unplanned downed trees. Be a responsible adult and call or text Joe Rudin with Forest Edge Tree Service at 815-615-3037 to schedule your free quote today, and let them know that you heard about them on the Paul Garcia Show.
Things like when we pulled into Israel, and I talked three guys into going to Jerusalem with me. We rented a car and this was 1979, spent 4 days driving around Israel and going to all these different holy and historic sites, and driving up through the Golan Heights and seeing these war memorials that were just along these dirt roads. And being out there at sun, you know, at dusk, and hearing gunfire in the distance, because it was all a hot area. I mean, it was all, there've always been conflicts there, and in you know, the Middle East. And it was just so extraordinary to experience being in that area and having lunch on the, next to the Sea of Galilee and swimming in the Dead Sea and just floating out in the Dead Sea and feeling what that was like, and going to Egypt, and nobody wanted to go with me. And I'm like, I'm going to Cairo. I want to see the pyramids. And so hopped on a train, decided not to travel first class. I should have done it because, the people who are in this train car with chickens and doors flying open, that they literally have to put a pop bottle top in the door to keep it closed, and getting to Cairo and staying in a hotel, decided, okay, I'm going to save money. I'm just going to stay in a youth hostel. And so I stay in a youth hostel that was unbelievably dusty and everything else. And then finding my way on a bus out to the pyramids and getting a camel ride around the pyramids. And I could go on and on. I mean, going to Oktoberfest, taking a train from Italy up to Munich for Oktoberfest, and sleeping in a train station for 4 nights, and going to Oktoberfest, and just, everything I could do, I tried, I used the analogy of an orange, and trying to squeeze as much juice out of the orange as I possibly can, and really anything I do, and I think I fully did it there, you know?
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's a lot of information right there, and that's all incredible. And the orange analogy, trying to squeeze all the juice that you can out of the orange, that analogy works pretty darn well, and it makes me kind of sad, because I wonder just how many people barely are squeezing the orange, if you would call that orange life. You know, how much are a lot of people really getting out of life? I mean, they're barely squeezing that thing if they stay around the area that they were born and they don't go out and experience that much. Something great about the military, it seems, is that it allows you to travel the world like you only could if you had a millionaire budget. You went so many different places, and the opportunities to travel those places were made a lot more accessible to you, I think. And is there any part of you that regrets spending the money that it took to go get that camel ride, to get the train ride? Do you regret any of the decisions you made to go travel and experience these things?
None of it. I mean, they Chenoa and the friends and the school system and family and everything else, the foundation, and the military built on that. And it when you're traveling through Eastern Europe, down through Eastern Europe, when it was still Soviet controlled, right?
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. That's crazy.
Spent a month traveling down through, this was in the early 80s, but traveling down through Eastern Europe, hitting all of the communist countries and getting exposed to that and seeing how other people live. And it absolutely, made me truly appreciate how wonderful we have it in this country. But to be able to do that and figure that out, and not, before a time when everybody speaks English like they do over there now, or most people, to have none of that and not speak the language and not know the train systems and not know when you sit down in a town in Bulgaria, what you're going to do and where you're going to stay and what you're going to eat and and you're there by yourself, and you just figure it out. I mean, you got to figure it out. You have no other choice. And the other choice would have been just not doing anything, which I just didn't want an ordinary life, and there's so many things that individuals want to do. They've always wanted to do. And I talk to people, and I have a relative. When I, we're doing this big road trip, took 2.5 years, where we went to every state and every national park. And I said, what's one thing you would like to see or do? And he goes, I've always wanted to go to Alaska. And I go, we're going to be up there. I go, you can come up there and visit us. We'll figure everything out. We'll tell you everything.
I love that attitude.
And he never did it. He didn't do it. And the thing I would say is, if there are things you really want to do, do it now. Because if anything has come out of this pandemic, it is that this thing we're all participating in right now called life can end at any time. And if there are things you want to do that you've always wanted to do, you better do them now, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Gosh, it just isn't.
You are absolutely right. Those words are incredibly, incredibly wise. And one thing I wanted to say, when you said that you were by yourself in Bulgaria and you just figured things out, I think it's absolutely incredible how we can figure out most things when there's no other option. So just immerse yourself in these situations, I think, even if it doesn't, if you don't have a clearly drawn out plan, you're going to figure it out. So don't be so worried about that, maybe. And I absolutely loved what you said. Life can end at any moment. And if you really want to do something, go stinking do it. Don't wait, because the longer you wait, the less likely it is that you'll ever probably do that thing. So it's incredible hearing those words come from you, because you've experienced a lot. So maybe we should listen to you.
You're being very, very kind. You're being very kind. And, you know, life may not end, but you may reach a point where you just can't do certain things that you've always wanted to do when you reach almost 65 years old and you're just not able to do it anymore physically. You know, if they're, you know, hiking something or learning something new that you're just not able to do it physically. You don't want to wait and then find out, man, I wish I really had done that, you know, 20 years ago when I could have done it. And so the opportunities are there. Just take advantage of them and do it now. Absolutely do it now.
This show is sponsored in part by PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, Illinois. Jiu-Jitsu is the fastest growing martial art on the planet right now, and it's such an amazing workout, and it builds confidence like you would not believe. When you go to PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, you will quickly learn how to take someone down, how to submit your opponents, and how to defend yourself on and off the mats. At PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu, you'll gain a sense of confidence that only comes from knowing that you can honestly defend yourself in the event of an attacker attacking, or if you ever have to defend someone else. PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu's instructor is Jared Game, and he still competes on the national jiu-jitsu circuit. He's super smart, super experienced, very patient, friendly, and tough as nails. The team here is constantly growing, and they are so warm and welcoming. Learn jiu-jitsu, get in great shape, and gain confidence, and even make some friends, all at an unbeatable monthly price. So call or text PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu at 217-637-4699, or message them on Facebook at PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. And of course, be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you.
There was, and is so much beyond what I knew in Chenoa and the Midwest, and that the Navy turned me on to, kind of put out there, and then I took full advantage of it. I mean, I say, like, before I went to Italy, I saved up vacation, leave time, to make sure I could maximize my travel over there. And I would, when I couldn't get friends to do something with me, which was often, I just went off and did it by myself. And in those cases, it was actually, in some respects, better, because then I met all kinds of new people along the way, you know, and different cultures, and talking with them, and they're speaking broken English, and I'm speaking absolutely zero French or whatever. So the Navy absolutely did that, but it also, I mean, I knew sailors who didn't want to do those things, and I think they missed out. You know, they missed opportunities that literally only come along typically once in a lifetime, if they come along at all.
You're really striking a chord with me. I mean, personally, because I've never left the country, for starters. I've been to a few different states, but I've really never went on such a trip that it was truly an adventure, where I was truly immersed in something unique and brand new. You know, I go to Wisconsin, I'll go to Michigan, I'll go, you know, places, Indiana, you know, states nearby.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's good. It's better than nothing. But boy, deep down, I have a strong desire to go to Italy. You mentioned the Holy Land even. I'd love to go to Jerusalem and Israel. And I'd also love, I'm a devout Catholic. I would love nothing more than to go to the Vatican. And gosh darn it, I want to do that sooner rather than later, especially after this talk.
Well, you mentioned the Vatican, and the place where I was stationed in Italy, Gaeta, mm-hmm. is about a two-hour train ride south of Rome. And so on weekends when I didn't have duty, typically ask around, okay, who wants to go up to Rome? And about three or four of us would get up after we had, let's say we had watch Friday night, early Saturday morning, we come off watch, we hop on the first train up, and we would go up to Rome and spend the entire weekend up there and go to the Vatican, and every single time. And the Pietà, the Michelangelo statue that's in the Vatican, is hands down my favorite piece of artwork. But seeing the Pope, and not a personal audience, but being there when he was coming through the Vatican, the square, and seeing him up close and listening to his Sunday service,
mass and stuff, yeah.
And being at the Vatican for Easter, which was
holy crap, man! You've done some amazing things. I can't believe it. Gosh, man,
it was incredible. But the opportunity was there. The opportunity was there, and I just tried to take advantage of it.
We could talk all day about your experience, what you did during your time in the Navy. Easy. That could be hours long conversation.
I would love to do that, because it's fun thinking back through these times. And by the way, a number of guys I met on the ship in Italy, which was, you know, came out of the Navy in 1980. So it was a few years ago. I'm still friends with them. We still, you know, trade texts. We get together every now and then. And these are guys that I did all sorts of things with over there. I mean, bonds that will never be broken.
There's something to be said about military, the bonds that you build in the military. I don't know why that is, but I've talked to a number of people who have done service, and they say that the bonds that they've created there are lifelong. It's odd. Even if hundreds and thousands of miles separate them, they seem to keep in contact. And maybe that's just because that's the type of bond that you build when you're training to go into combat with guys. You know, it's, I don't know, but for some reason those bonds are strong.
Well, they are, and I was fortunate in that I went into the Navy right after Vietnam. You know, I went into the Navy in October of 74. Vietnam was essentially pretty much was finished by then. So I didn't have to worry. I was so fortunate. I did not have to worry about, war situations. But you're right. Individuals who, when you leave home and you're thrown into a barracks with 75 other guys from different walks of life, you figure out who you're gonna bond with, and they become your support system, and everybody has to go through that thing together. And some people can't handle it. Other people like me just kept my mouth shut and did what they said, as my dad said, you know. And you're right, though. You end up with those connections that can be lifelong.
This show is sponsored in part by Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal. Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal offers a full array of services that ensure that your critical plumbing, HVAC, and electrical systems will continue to operate at peak performance for many years to come. The Popejoy name has been serving commercial and residential customers in Pontiac, Morris, Streeter, Braidwood, Coal City, Dwight, Fairbury, El Paso, Gibson City, Lexington, Shenoa, and Gilman, Illinois since 1984, and they understand the Midwestern values of honesty and integrity. At Popejoy, their elite-level team works hard to ensure that your homes and businesses remain comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient all year round, and they even have a line that you can call 24/7 for emergencies. No matter what service you're requesting, you can rest assured that every Popejoy service technician is properly trained and certified. Their comfort advisors and technicians participate in ongoing factory-sponsored classes so they understand the latest installation and repair techniques. So for top-quality plumbing, heating, electric, and geothermal services, call Popejoy at 815-496-5181. That's Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal, and be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you.
Like I said, we could talk about this period of time in your life for hours. However, another incredible point in your life was recently when, I mean, you bought an RV, or I don't know if you bought.
We did.
Okay, yeah, you bought an RV, you decided to live in that RV, hit all 50 states, including Alaska, and I mean, I don't know about Hawaii and stuff like that, but you traveled, you hit all 50 states, you hit all the national parks, you did an awful lot of hiking. Tell me about, where did that all begin, this whole adventure with traveling the United States in your RV and on foot and on your bike? Where did that all start, and why did that all start?
I tend to like to have something to work toward or to be doing. And so I was just finishing up my master's program at Chicago. And I wasn't married at the time. Laura, with whom I'm now married, and I had just met. And we were watching, we had seen that Ken Burns, and we love Ken Burns, the documentarian who, you know, has won something like 23, 26 Emmys. We were watching the series on the national parks. And it's a 6-part series. And after the very first episode, I had met Laura in April, going up to a Cubs game. On the L, I met her on the L platform going up to Cubs game first week of the season. Fast forward, we're still seeing each other October or September. The Ken Burns series on the national parks comes on. First 10 minutes blow me away. After the first episode, I said to Laura, I go, I know exactly what I want to do. She goes, you mean like for dinner? And I go, no. I go, I know exactly what I'm going to do with my life. She goes, what's that? I go, in 5 years, I want to retire. I want to sell whatever I have. I'm going to put whatever I have in storage. I'm going to get a camper, motorhome, whatever. And I'm going to travel around the country and see this country. I in the Navy, I've been many places around the world, but I had never truly seen this country. And seeing that series on the national parks, which I would highly, highly recommend to everyone.
What was it called again?
It's Ken Burns. The National Parks, America's Best Idea. Hmm. Seeing that, I'm like, my gosh, there's so much to see in this country. And so I told her, I'm gonna quit my job. I'm gonna sell everything. I'm gonna put everything in storage. I'm gonna hit the road for a year, and I'm gonna travel around the country, and I'm gonna see America. I'm gonna see all the national parks. And Laura, without hesitation, goes, I'll do that with you. What the and heck? So,
Fred, can I pause real quick?
Yeah.
How did you have the guts to do such a thing like that? That's making my blood pressure rise just hearing you say that. Like, because you were, it's obvious that you were serious when you said that for the first time. You don't seem like the type of guy that says things and just lets them, you know, go away with the wind. You seem serious. I'm sure you were serious when you said that.
I'm completely serious.
Like, that's a big decision. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, to make such a lifestyle switch like that, that just hugely contrasts what you're doing now. How'd you do that?
Well, first of all, it sounded pretty darn cool to do something like that. And I had, you know, at this time, you know, I was into my 50s. And so I had done the, you know, I'd been in a financial advisory capacity and career and everything else and had done fairly well. And so financially, I could figure out, okay, you know what? I think I can make this work. And the same thing happened when I decided to ride my bike across country. It's like, I want to do that. I'm going to do that. And if I have to quit, if the bank I'm working with says, we're not going to let you be gone for a month to do that ride across country, I was prepared to quit. I'm like, that's what I'm doing. So, you know, either take it or leave it. That's what I'm doing. And it was the same thing on this. It's like, okay, I've got 5 years. My background was financial planning. So I knew, you know, I can get myself in a position where I can do this. And then Laura and I just started working toward that. It was like, okay, this is what we got to do. We got what we have to put in place. We changed, you know, I was a tax guy, a CPA, and I used to do taxes. And okay, where do we want residency? Oh, okay. There are 5 or 6 states that have no state income tax. How do I change? What state do I want to change and become a resident of? And how do you do that? And so we started going through those steps. Mm-hmm. And I knew, and just working through it over a 5-year period. And we did it. You know, we achieved it. But it was, you know, back to your question, you know, why would I do something like that? How did that even unfold like that? It's like, I got to tell you, seeing that series on the national parks made me so want to see it and see America that there was nothing that was going to keep me from doing that. And even though I had zero camping experience, I had never had a motorhome or anything like that. I'm not mechanically inclined. I'm actually inept, as opposed to two of my brothers. And so it's like, you know, it was like when I did the AT thing, I mean, you stand there getting ready to take the first step and you're looking into the deep end and you just step off and go, you know, you just step off and go. Mm-hmm. And the odds are you're going to figure it out. And if you don't figure it out and you have to stop for whatever reason, you tried.
You weren't paralyzed by fear. I feel like that's a good thing to try to not be. Don't let the fear of things could go wrong and this might not work out stop you from trying, because there's experience in just trying. You know, you could learn a lot in just the trying. You could experience a lot of great things and have a lot of fun in just trying. Even if things do in the end go wrong, it could still be very much worth it. In fact, it probably will be very much worth it, and you'll probably figure it out if you just commit.
Exactly. And what I found out personally, and I think this applies to most people, is that you can do so much more than you think you can do, both physically, psychologically, emotionally. One can do those things, but you don't know that unless you try, unless you step off and do things that make you uncomfortable. You don't know that. And then you go through life always wondering what's going to happen and should I do something? And, there's so much more to life, if one doesn't do that.
Doggone it. You're firing me up, man. This is hard for me to stay on the script now, but we're going to keep going here. One thing that you mentioned, you know, that you could quit your job. You had the ability to quit your job if your bank wouldn't let you take that month off to ride across the country. I really think it's not too bad of a goal to have, to want to be, when it comes to money, to earn some financial freedom. I personally, that's one of my goals. I don't want to be rich for the sake of status, of having nice things. My biggest thing is I want to be financially free. I don't want to be plagued with debts that disable me from having the ability to go travel, just like you did. That's probably my biggest financial goal. And I think it's important to have financial goals and to strive to be financially okay. You got to be smart with your money, which, you know, you had a master's in finance from the University of Chicago. So you obviously know how to manage your money.
Actually, it was a master of liberal arts.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
Yeah, my undergrad was in finance, CPA, CFP, but the master's at Chicago was purely for my own edification. All I wanted to do was take these a better rounded program and learn about philosophy and religion and just all these other things that had zero application to what I was doing in a career or what I wanted to do in a career. I just wanted to learn these things.
Fred, you got that degree from the University of Chicago almost for fun, for your own, you wanted to learn. Is that fair to say? It wasn't to get a certain job. It wasn't because you were going to apply it to a certain thing. You just wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just so happened to be that you got this degree that you just wanted from one of the greatest universities on the planet. And I don't know if, do you agree with that? You know, it doesn't even matter if you agree with it. It's always in the top 10 universities on the planet, the University of Chicago.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. You seem like a humble guy.
If not in the top three. Yeah. No, it is. But it was purely, because I wanted to learn. I wanted to expand my knowledge base in these different areas. And also the challenge. I mean, I hadn't been in school since the early 80s, and to go back to college in a master's program, and this particular master's program, you're being taught by literally world-renowned professors. And to go to those classes and then to meet, because it was mostly other older people, but to go to those classes and to experience that, it changed me. I mean, it one of the classes I took, you were talking about finances, and one of the classes I took was on Epicurean philosophy, and Epicurus, one of the things he stressed was the lesser amount that you can get through life with, the better. The more self-sufficient one is, the more freedom one has. And it completely changed how I thought about life and what I wanted to get out of life. And without that class, I might be on a completely different track right now, you know? And so, and plus I made incredible friends and everything else. So, it was purely for my own edification. I just wanted to get beyond finance and accounting and wealth management and things like that, and get into other areas that would challenge me and where I could learn some things I didn't know. A lot of things I didn't know.
I mean, you said it right there. You went to the University of Chicago for your own edification. To be honest with you, I don't know what edification means, but I feel like it's synonymous with your own enlightenment.
That's exactly what it is.
I can relate to that feeling that you had, because that is, I mean, that's the vast majority of the reason why I do this podcast, for my own enlightenment. I want to learn from other people's experiences. And I got to say, I've hit the jackpot with you. And, but I don't want to pay for
you. You're very kind. Thank you. You're very kind.
And I just don't want to pay for classes. So that's largely the reason that I am doing this very podcast because I want to learn from other people. I love learning. I'm so fascinated with people's stories. And while I also want to get people's stories out there for the well-being of the listeners, you know, so that they can learn, so they can get a whole lot of a number of different things out of the conversations that I have. Again, largely it's kind of selfish. I want to learn.
That's outstanding. That's fantastic. Good
thank
for you.
However, let's keep this thing going. We've been talking for a while. Let's talk about your experience, your adventure of traveling all the states in the RV with your wife, Laura. That had to be insane. Tell me a little bit about what that was like, maybe an adventure or two you had along the way.
You know, of all the things I've done in my life, other than having a great daughter and phenomenal daughter, now a granddaughter, which is hands down the most extraordinary thing, right? But other than that, that 2.5 year road trip, odyssey, the best thing I've ever done in my life in terms of personal experiences, right? And I don't mean like, you know, relationships with other people and things like that, but to go out, to roll out on that trip. And it started out, it was going to be a year, but after about a week of thinking about it, Laura and I go, oh, no, it's not going to be enough time. We're going to make it 2 years. Okay, fine. But to roll out on that trip, and on that trip to see America, to truly spend time in national parks, and both of us are history buffs, and so national historic sites, and devouring visitor centers, and going to presentations, and going to all these extraordinary places, some of the most extraordinary beauty anywhere in the world are in our national parks. To be there hiking, photographing it, doing all those things, and being there not just drive through or drive by sightings, but spend a week at places, a month at places. Hands down, the best thing I'll ever do. And I've even said, you know, if somebody said, you know what, I'll give you a seat on a rocket that's going to go up into space.
You take
hands
it.
Down, I would do that. I would do that, but I guarantee you it wouldn't be as incredible as that 2.5 year road trip. Hands down. I mean, there's no question in my mind, and that's in spite of everything else I've done, and along with everything else I've done in my life, that it was incredible. And one of the coolest things was, you know, we often get asked the question, what's your favorite park?
I was just going to ask that.
And until we finished, I would always say the next one. Because the excitement of pulling everything in, hooking up, we towed us a small Subaru, but in Charlie, and we named our motorhome after John Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie. And we even had the license plate out of South Dakota, where we ended up becoming residents for tax purposes. We had the license plate that had Charlie on it. When we loaded up Charlie, pulled in the slide outs, hooked up Toad, which was our Subaru, we always put on Willie Nelson's On the Road Again. And we were off down the highway with that just blaring inside, thinking about where we were going and what we might see.
It's like a freaking movie, man. Well, not to ask a basic question here, but now that you have been to all the national parks, every single national park, is that correct?
Yeah. And there at the time we did it, there were 59. Now they've added a few. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe up to 63. It so happened that in addition to the capital N, capital P parks like Grand Canyon and Glacier and places like Rocky Mountain National Park, in addition to those, we also went to other national park units, and there are roughly 420 total national park units that include historic sites, memorials, monuments, battlefields, things like that. And we hit roughly another 125 of those. Nothing like it.
Well, I want to ask, what was, as far as we'll limit it to sheer beauty of the landscape, do you have a favorite national park? Or I guess not a favorite national park, just which one do you think was the most beautiful or serene?
The most extraordinary, well, I'm going to come back to the most extraordinary, but the one that the state of Alaska is like one huge national park. You know, there, when you're up there, and there, I think they have eight national parks, and two of them are above the Arctic Circle. So that was two bush planes to fly in to be dropped off with a guide. We weren't doing this by ourselves, because you're a couple hundred miles north of the Arctic Circle. But to be dropped off up there and just and never see anybody else, incredible. And that's the way all of Alaska is. But getting back to, okay, so now that you finished this trip, what's your favorite national park? For both of us, the Grand Canyon.
Really? Really? Why am I let down by that?
There's something about something sublime and humbling. And humbling and just being completely overwhelmed standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon and looking out at that. And we saw that thing every which way one could. I mean, north rim, south rim, the one day hike when I turned 60 from north rim to south rim. So hiking down across and back up the other side. 9 or 10 day raft trip, going down the Colorado with the, you know, world class rapids, and experiencing it that way. It doesn't even deserve a name. I mean, nothing does it justice. Now, apparently, you're not impressed with the Grand Canyon. Have you been there?
I've never been there. So yeah, I've never been there. And maybe you can tell because of that opinion that I had. The reason I said it, why am I let down, is because I've heard so many people say, oh, you got to go there. You got to go there. But then I've heard so many people say it's just like, not people that have been there, but I've heard people say it's just a hole in the ground. It's just a thing to look at. It's not, when I think of a national park, I think of Yellowstone with all sorts of different scenery. Whereas I think of the Grand Canyon, I think of it as one location, one thing, but maybe it's not that. And I don't know. I've just heard.
I'll tell you what. I would encourage you to go see it. Mm-hmm. And if you come back with that opinion, I want you to let me know what you think about it when you come back, whether you like it or not. And for the individuals who sometimes, you know, they think, okay, I'm on the South Rim. I'm where the lodges are. There are a lot of people there. Buses are pulling up and everything else. Believe it or not, the Grand Canyon is pretty big. So pretty grand. And so you can go a lot of places where there aren't people. But even where there are people, I could stand on that rim and have 50 people behind me chattering and taking pictures and everything else and still be blown away. You can't imagine what it's like. You just can't. Yeah. And if I'm not selling that to your viewing audience, I'm not sure what will. And Laura feels the same way.
Something tells me that if I do go to the Grand Canyon, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised by the awe-struckness, I guess, that I would experience. I'm sure I'd think it's amazing.
Talk to us before when you decide to go, because you've got to go. When you decide to go, talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about, you know, different things that one can do and everything else. I mean, if it doesn't blow you away, I'll be very surprised.
This might be a tough question, but what is one of the most valuable lessons that you've learned from all that you've experienced. I'm going to limit it not to your entire life, what's one of the most important things that you've learned, but from traveling and the things you've experienced when you've traveled, what's one of the most valuable lessons that you've learned, or just things that you've learned that you think that we as viewers, maybe who haven't traveled that much, could really benefit from hearing?
That there is so much potential in each of us that we don't tap into, that we you know, question ourselves, we are afraid to try new things, do different things, really, really stretch it, you know, stretch oneself. There's so many things within us that we can do if we just try it, just whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be hiking the Appalachian Trail or going on a 2.5 year road trip. I mean, it could be somebody who's always wanted to take painting lessons or learn how to play an instrument or whatever it is. And just do it. Just try it, you know, whatever it is. There's so much within ourselves in terms of resilience. And in most cases, it doesn't make any difference if you fail. Nobody cares. People care if you don't try, you know? People just, and more so for me, I care if I don't try. I've done stuff that I've just completely failed at. But okay, fine. Learn from it and move on. And that would be the thing. That there's so much within each of us to accomplish what we've always wanted to do or things we wanted to do. Do it, man. Do it, because it's within you to at least take that first step and then figure it out from there.
Beautiful. I love it. My last question to you, Fred, is a simple one. It's just, what's next for you? As viewers, as people that like keeping up with your story, and I just like to say there's an awful lot of things that we did not cover in this conversation. I mean, you've hiked like crazy. I've kept up on that for really, me and my dad have kept up with it for the past few months. I don't know when that ended exactly, but I remember just him giving me updates like crazy about how far you've hiked, where you were now, and stuff like that. Anyways, a lot of things we didn't cover, but what can we look forward to seeing you do next? What's next on your agenda? What adventure do you plan on going on in the near future?
When I hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2018, a week into that, I was already thinking about what I was going to do as my next thing. And started thinking and planning and everything else. And I was going to do it this year, this coming summer. With the pandemic and everything, that got pushed off. And I'm not at this point ready to disclose exactly what that is.
Oh, but, man.
But it arguably, it will be as big as hiking the Appalachian Trail or riding my bike across country or any of those things. And so I'm still working through that. But with the pandemic, I've always enjoyed landscape design and gardening, things like that. And so last year, I threw myself into a project here at our house, and I'll be continuing to work on that this year. And so creative outlet, completely different than what I was doing before. Very much a challenge, but I'm going to get this done before I do the next thing.
Right on. Well, I can't wait to see what exactly it is that you're planning on doing. I wish you could tell me, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I guess you'll just have to have me on again.
That's right. Oh, I plan on having you on again. It would be an absolute pleasure because there's so much more I'd like to talk about. But
be delighted to do that.
Until next time, Fred Jolly, thank you so much for coming on to the show. It has been an immense pleasure. I've learned a lot, and I am leaving this conversation fired up, as I'm sure a lot of the listeners and viewers will be as well.
Pleasure talking with you, and say hello to your father.
I absolutely will. He's going to hear this part, so that'll be his greeting. Thanks again, Fred. Have a great day, and have a great next adventure.
And you have a great next adventure as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, and that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Fred as much as I did, and I hope it inspires you to just do those things that you've been wanting to do for so long now. Just do them. Take advantage of all the opportunities that you can, and just trust that you'll figure out a way to make things work, because usually that's exactly what happens. There was so much that Fred and I did not discuss in this episode, like his 2,000-mile hike on foot, how he got tickets to the Cubs World Series games, including the Steve Bartman games from 2003, and what it was like to be at those presidential inaugurations, and much, much more. So I'll definitely have to have him come on again in the near future. I very much want to thank all of you, each and every one of you, for your support of this podcast. It's been wonderful, and if you're already subscribed to the podcast on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, fantastic. And if you're not already subscribed, please do subscribe to the show on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. On Apple and Facebook, you can leave a 5-star review if you think we deserve that, as well as a comment reviewing the show. If you found the show entertaining, educational, or in some other way good, I encourage you to share it with your friends and share it with your family. To watch this whole episode uncut, as well as a whole lot of other exclusive bonus footage, become a patron on patreon.com/PaulGarcia. And if you know anyone you'd like to see on the show who has a great story, you can always send me a message or just leave a comment on this video. I always love to hear from you guys, and I appreciate the comments, the likes, and the shares. Anyways, until next Sunday, I'm Paul Garcia. This is the Paul Garcia Show. God bless, and have a great week.